The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side and issue number 94, Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan. Does this movie hold up? Does it hold up for John? Does it hold up for me? Do I spend the next hour trying to convince John that this is a great movie? What's the difference between Irish and Scottish? We answer all sorts of questions, and we get controversial, I think. There's so much here this week, we just gotta hurry up and get into the store. John, I told you I'd be back on Monday.
You're as good as your word.
Yep. It's been a long weekend.
Whew. Yeah. I'm exhausted.
I am too. We were just yawning in the green room there before we started.
I'm not sure why, but I know I had a great weekend.
Yep.
Technically, can't remember why.
We can say, though, we're not ruining the illusion. It is early in the morning.
You know what I'm tired of? You know what I'm tired from? Is because from doing
arms?
That FOC on Sunday. That's why I'm tired.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you had to do that FOC last night. Normally you get your Sundays off, and now you're working hard.
Now I have to work on Sunday.
Ugh, so. That's awful.
That's why I'm so tired. I couldn't feel, I just came to me.
Quite literally.
Yep.
It did.
Couldn't remember why I was so tired in
that
the
was
future.
Good. That was
from
good.
The past.
That was a little private joke there. That was good.
Yep.
All right. Hey, last week when we were talking in checkout, I had mentioned that I was going to talk about my chair and the instructions.
Yeah, and you did.
And I never talked about them. Did you see
to the disappointment of our millions of listeners?
I know. I mean, I'm sure we got
the outpouring on Twitter that I don't pay attention to was massive.
Right. No, but that was like, all right, it's a cool chair. It's a Captain America chair, blah, blah, blah. I talked about that. But you open it up and you're excited to get this chair and check out these instructions.
Yeah, it's like a comic book.
Have you seen these before?
No.
Oh, it's awesome. And even when you open it up, it's the characters are telling you how to put together the chair.
Oh, geez.
So awesome. So what in the first panel, it's like in your room before buying our chair, it's our mission to assemble the chair. Captain America is saying, make sure the package contains the following items. And they list everything you need. And then Spidey's like, if you're missing parts, please contact. Then it goes right the next panel. And it's like, Avengers assemble. I was like, this is so cool. And it's all awesome. Like a comic book. It's all panels and everything on how to. I'm like, I didn't want it to end.
Yeah. It's like, I got the chair put together and I want to take it apart and do it again.
Yeah. Oh, and then when you get it all put together, meanwhile, it's on wheels, but it's like you have Black Panther telling you, caution, can cause muscle strain and back injury. It's a heavy object.
Oh, I was going to say, from what? From sitting in it?
It's so cool. Awesome. But I was like, hey, this is... Oh, we had Captain Marvel telling us... what did she tell us? Oh, she was... Words of encouragement. You're almost done. If you're having a problem, please contact Team Neo Chair.
It's like they actually commissioned artists to do this.
Yeah, well...
Which is cool. Yeah.
I wonder how much they paid for the rights to Marvel to do this.
Yeah, but, well, I mean,
it's
on the
all
chair,
in the
so.
Chair. Yeah, it's, right. I paid for it. So, but yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, that's suitable for framing.
Yeah, it's a bag and board that thing and put it in your collection.
It actually came bagged and boarded.
Oh, nice!
But the board was the thank you. It was a thicker stock, but it was bagged and boarded just like a comic book would be. And I was like, awesome. Are you kidding me? This is awesome.
Now I need a new chair.
Exactly.
I just got a new chair.
I know
to
you
give this one to my give this
but
one
you
to
want
my
to get
wife.
The
she
good instructions it with it.
Yeah. And now I have to buy a Marvel chair so I can get that comic book.
Yeah. Not that I sit in my chair. I'm down here at Arkham Comics and Games where I get all great comics and games.
And you have to stand.
And, yeah. I have to stand. All right. Oh, those comics from last week, those covers. We had Shazam number 14 from Dale Keown. How do you say?
Yep.
Keown?
Keown, I guess.
Keown?
Yeah.
All right.
That's how I've always said it, but probably wrong.
Yeah. Very dynamic.
Yeah. Really cool.
Really cool picture. Very dynamic. Him coming at you. I will say, though, you said you're leaning more towards this one over the Batgirl number 48 from Ian McDonald.
Yeah.
I like the Batgirl better because this one flaw, I'm not crazy about his mouth in the Shazam.
Yeah.
It just looks a little like, I don't know. But it's a very dynamic picture. I love how they did the lightning on that. But the Batgirl is very smooth, very artistic.
Yeah, it's real. Also really nice.
Yeah,
different
they're both
style
really nice.
All together, but.
Yeah, it's 1A, 1B.
Yep. Get them both.
Get them both. Yep. Foodable. Foodable.
Arkham Comics and Games.
Foodable for flaming. Suitable for framing. Thought I pretty cat.
It's gas leak.
Gas leak show. Woohoo! Not that kind. What? You got anything else before we get into this?
I don't think so.
Are you prepared for this movie this week? You're all caught
prepared.
Up. You watched it.
I did watch it last night.
Nice. All right. You ready to play this trailer?
Sure.
And we'll...
I'm ready to listen to you play it.
Okay.
Because I'm not playing it.
I know. Let's play this trailer, and then I can't wait to get into this with you.
Okay.
This should be fun.
Beyond the darkness, beyond the human evolution, is Khan, a genetically superior tyrant. Exiled to a barren planet, banished by a starship commander he is destined to destroy. Left for dead, he has survived.
I'll chase him round the moons of Nibia and round the Antares maelstrom and round perdition's flames before I give him up. There she is! There she is!
Shield's collapsing, Captain! Can you evade their power?
A few shots, son!
Not enough against their shields.
The base is starboard!
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
I've done far worse than kill you. I've hurt you. And I wish to go on hurting you. I shall leave you as you left me. Marooned for all eternity. Buried alive. Buried alive.
Sean! Sean!
At the end of the universe lies the beginning of vengeance. Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan.
Wow, did that have an 80s feel?
Not sure that was the official trailer.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think that was the official trailer.
But it still had an 80s feel.
Oh, it did, for sure.
It's... The way that
it
ended.
It just felt a little too choppy to be
it was the
like
80s.
The official trailer.
I don't know. That's what came up.
But I mean, it did its job.
It's yeah. Khan!
Yeah.
Let's get into this.
All right.
You want to go? Go?
What? I mean.
Did this hold up for you?
Yes, it did.
It did? Glad it held up for you.
It did, yes. I know you didn't like it. I mean, you. It's hard to not read you. So, I know you didn't like it.
It's my poker face.
I can tell. Yeah, but
it's not that
I love
didn't
it,
like
man.
It. Really?
It. Yeah. It holds up for me. Like, this is actually kind of the opposite of some of the other ones we've watched lately, where you know, like Conan and things where they don't hold up and. I mentioned it even when we were talking about Conan, and it might just be my love for Star Trek that kind of overrides.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe it overrides the movie because, yes, it's flawed. Don't get me wrong. Like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I watched the same movie you did. So, I mean, I see the flaws, I love it. I
like
love
what?
It.
Like when something explodes and somebody jumps over a console?
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. It is so Star Trek to me. Like the difference between this and the first movie is that, you know, Star Trek 1 did not resemble the TV show in any way. You know, if they weren't named Kirk and Spock, like, you wouldn't have known it was Star Trek. It didn't have the feel of the TV show. This has the feel of an episode of the TV show. Like, to me, and I know it's bad, but, like, the acting is glorious to me. Like, I just love William Shatner and Ricardo Montalban, like, chewing up every bit of scenery that there is to chew. And it is...
Ricardo
like
Montalban.
It is glorious. Like, it is
shirtless,
so good.
And he's, like, 60-something years old.
Well, it's like a prosthetic chest, right? I don't even think it's his. Like,
really?
I think it's makeup. I think so. I think it's makeup. But...
Oh, he didn't hit the gym?
So here's the one thing, though, that I never noticed until now, but... When you watch the original episode where Khan appears in the original series, obviously that was like in 1967 or something, right? Ricardo Montalban was like a 30-year-old man.
Okay.
This movie takes place in 1983 or 1982.
82, yeah.
And Ricardo Montalban's like in his 60s. But in the original show, like all the crew that he was with are all the same people that he was with in the original show, but yet he has aged to where he's like 60 something years old, but all the people around him, every other actor, were like 20 something wannabe actors, you know? They all should have been like in their 60s, you know? So that never stood out to me any other time I ever watched it, but when I was watching it today, last night, I was like, why is he so old and they're all still like in their 20s, you know? So that was kind of weird to me that they didn't age up any of the other actors. But,
and he's the one that's enhanced.
Well, no, they all are.
Oh, all
they all are.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, every one of them are enhanced. Like he as the leader, I don't know if they even say like he's more enhanced than the others. No, it's a whole group of genetically enhanced people.
Okay.
That they were marooned again. You didn't really watch the original show,
no.
So they were all like marooned from Earth at the end of like the 20th century, you know, because they were a bunch of bad guys, and the Enterprise comes across them and thaws them all out.
So they were actually in an episode, or Ricardo Montalban was.
Yes, Ricardo Montalban was Khan in an episode of the original series.
Okay.
So this is kind of like a sequel to that episode. At the end of that episode, he basically maroons them.
Right.
On that. Well, he doesn't maroon them. It's a live planet when he brings them there, like they say in this movie. But the other planet blows up and turns their planet into a wasteland, and nobody ever went back and checked on them. But like Kirk didn't deposit them on a dead planet.
Right.
He brought them where he thought they couldn't do any harm to anybody, and was kind of like humane, like there was no prison to put him in, so
they were being banished
there.
For all intents and purposes
they
would be banished, which is that's
but
what
they
do.
Were supposed to be able to survive and thrive and live like it wasn't malicious. But obviously things turned for the worse and Khan holds a grudge, but it was all based on an episode of the show. There was
so they made a 2-hour movie out of a 1-hour episode.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's cool. I honestly did not know that. I'm not a Star Trek fan.
Well, I know you. Yeah, I know you're not.
And it's not that I ever had anything against Star Trek. I just never got into it. I loved Battlestar Galactica. I liked Space 1999. Obviously in the movies, I loved Star Wars. Right. I watched Star Trek in the 80s when it was on, like this one I probably watched, I don't know how many times, on HBO.
Right.
but I just never got into it. And then watching this again, this clearly is a love of the show.
Well, that's the whole thing, because you don't have that connection. From. Yeah, you don't have that connection to it.
Right, so. Because like you said, it's kind of funny because you're like, this is like an episode. Well, we usually expect more from our movies, right?
Well, right. But again, in 1983, this was cutting edge. Like, it doesn't look like it now.
No, this wasn't cutting edge in 1982 because Star Wars had already come out. Two movies had come out better and nobody was jumping like this. And no, they were most of the sets in this movie were like just the Enterprise. Think of the sets in this. And that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at this without the Star Trek goggles on and being like, I love it. And I appreciate that. And because we've got roles reversed here. And right. I love things because I love them. And it's right. I have an attachment. You have an attachment to Star Trek. I have no attachment. So I look at this and go, these set pieces are just rudimentary. Star Wars was way more advanced. I mean, Empire had come out 2 years earlier and it was, there was no Hoth in this movie. This is their second shot at this. And it's like, it's still just a rudimentary, it's the set pieces from the TV show. So all it is a 2 hour version of the TV show, which usually if you put that on the big screen, most of the time, the adventurous moonwalker is like, this just looks like a TV show.
Yeah. Well, they weren't, to be fair, they weren't the set pieces from the show. Like, it's not the same Enterprise.
No, but it kind of looks like it doesn't look well, it as does. Advanced well, as like stuff you'd see in Star Wars.
Right, but I mean, it's made to resemble the, you know, right. It's supposed to look like the Enterprise. Because it's the same ship, just retrofitted.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's the same Enterprise that they were on, you know, when they were out on their mission. It's just been updated.
Yeah, it's been updated, and yes, Kirk was there to... For an inspection.
Right.
A little white glove test that he did on the console. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, he's promoted to Admiral, so now he's doing the inspection of the retrofit and the new crew that's taking over the Enterprise. But yeah, it's, like I said, it's supposed to resemble the ship, but it's not. It's definitely not the same set pieces. You know, like I said, there's definitely some effects that aren't great, like the caterpillar thingies crawling into Chekhov's ear.
Oh.
Like, that was really bad.
Yeah.
You know, really
bad.
Yeah,
when they first showed him crawling in, it was like, it was clearly like just some wax ear.
Yeah, something.
And then it wasn't so bad when it came out. That was actually a pretty decent special effect.
No, but going in was
going
bad.
In, it was. And who was the other character? He was a black guy, and his ear looked even worse.
Yeah,
when they showed it going in.
Yeah, he was a new character for the movie. He wasn't from the original show, but
yeah, he doesn't make it.
Yeah, Chekhov was from the original show. Yeah, like I said, I understand. I know where you're coming from, but I just have that fondness for Star Trek, so I can overlook. Like, this movie, it succeeds for me where the first one didn't, because the first one just didn't feel like Star Trek to me. You know, and it wasn't.
They still have.
And it wasn't a good movie. Like, it was.
Right.
It was dull. Now, there was still a bit of Enterprise porn in this one, too.
That's what I was just going to say. Quite, they still love their Enterprise, don't they?
But it wasn't quite as bad as the first movie. Like, they had a little bit of a docking scene, but it didn't take 37 minutes to dock.
Well, they shortened the docking scene, but they were like, what was it? Quarter pulse power? What do they call
impulse
it?
Impulse power.
It's pulse power.
Quarter pulse power.
A quarter pulse power. And I'm like, so what's pulse power? Their speed? They're like.
Impulse power is when they're not at warp speed. It's basically like regular speed when they're flying.
So for all intents and purposes, wouldn't you think like a I thought, this is what I thought. This is my John brain going here. So a quarter, you're docked. You're standing still inside a dock. And you want to go to a quarter? You know how fast that would be in a spaceship?
I don't know. It should just
be like quarter speed. Are you sure, Captain?
Boom!
Well, I mean, these are spaceships. They fly pretty fast.
Well, my thing is
it
I
should
still
be
don't
like
understand.
A tenth or something, not a quarter.
I still don't understand why they're in shuttles at all. Because, like, they're docked at at the space dock, like, they have transporters. Like, I don't understand why anybody's in a shuttle to begin with. It's not like they're in space going from one ship to the other and it's too far to beam or whatever. But, like, they're just right there. It's like, can't you just beam over to the ship?
Right.
It's a lot quicker.
You can beam to a planet, but you can't beam from your own
planet
to your
own ship. That's what I'm saying. They're not that far.
Right.
Right. If you can beam from the ship down to the planet's surface, you can go from ship to ship.
Here to there.
Yeah. So that was a little weird.
So
but,
they're docking and bringing in the, you know, the shuttle coming in. That was a lot shorter. But their takeoff from the docking station, there was a lot of Enterprise porn there where they're just showing
it. Was.
You know, and you got that little guy. I don't
know
what
running,
he's doing.
All the running lights coming on. And
yeah, running lights that you need in space for traffic.
Right. Right.
It's like, got your headlights on? We're in space.
Well, I mean, the Klingons have to be able to see you while you're out there, so.
Right, exactly.
You can't have ships bumping into each other all willy-nilly in space, you know? They don't have long-range scanners or anything to tell you that you're in range of another ship.
Well, so. When you're at a quarter speed.
Yeah.
I like the little guy out there. I don't know if he's cleaning the station or whatever, but he's out there waving goodbye.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was because some kind of ode to Love Boat or something.
Yeah.
Waving goodbye to everybody leaving.
I'm Gopher, your purser.
Yeah. Yeah. To be fair, though, I was entertained.
Yeah.
But there's just so much hokey stuff here and so many great, great William Shatner, like William Shatner spoken lines. Just
I'm telling you, it is glorious, man. I can't express enough. He is the most William, like we talked about Nicolas Cage being the most Nick Cage he could be.
Right.
William Shatner was being the most William Shatner that he could be.
It's like when did he start? In the 60s, 50s, 60s, yeah. Something like that? Yeah. Did they cast him and go, you're called an actor, but we don't ever want you to act. We just want you to talk the way you
talk. Just want you to be William Shatner.
You just be you. And we're going to give you different names and all the different roles, but we want you to be you.
Right.
And just the way he emphasizes things, I won't even try to do an impression because it's just embarrassing, but it's great. It's when he gets angry and like, I mean, we heard it in the trailer.
Yeah. God. What do they call all his.
And like, how about his entrance?
His, like Moby Dick quotes at the end, like,
yep.
From hell's heart, I stab at thee. You know?
God.
For hate's sake, I grapple with thee. It's like awesome, dude. I don't know. I love it.
And that's what I mean. I mean, side by side.
Mr. Rourke.
Side by side to like, this is the second iteration of Star Trek. Put this side by side with Empire Strikes Back. And one's a film. The other's a glorified TV show.
Yeah.
And it's clearly, I mean, there's a fan following here. There's a love for this that I've started in on the show. Jen and I started a while back. We've fallen, but we do want to get back to it. But I see I don't know what you want to call it.
It's a cult appeal. Like, but again,
well, that's
have
the
to-
word. I see the appeal. It is fun. It is like there's good stories in there.
There are some good stories, but like, I don't know if it, like, even if you watch them all now, like, I just don't know if it'll grab you, like, cause you're 50. You're not 6.
Thanks
you know
a
what
reminder.
I mean? Well, but I'm just saying, like, I don't, because they're not that good. Like, really, when you get down to it and you look at those old episodes, they're not that good at watching them as a 50-year-old looking in on them. But when you're 6 and you grow up with it, I don't know. It just kind of, it's like an earworm. Like it just kind of ingrains itself in your, you know.
Right.
So well, I don't
you watched it with your dad.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that you just.
So like, I don't know even after you watch them all, like if you'll be a Trekkie, like.
No, probably not to the degree of you, but you do. I can see the entertainment there. There's good writing. There's good stories. Yeah. The sets are horrendous.
They're horrible. And they look even worse in HD.
Oh, I know.
You know.
But here's the thing. What's funny is, like you said, the shows are bad. The sets are bad. There's decent writing. But then when you go to the movie, and yeah, the movie is a glorified version of the show. But if the show's already bad and you glorified it, it still doesn't equal, like, Star Wars never had a show.
Well, right, but I don't think, also, I don't think we thought the show was bad in 1970. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, no, definitely not. You're right. The show wasn't considered bad then.
Right.
You look at it, like, now.
Because, again, it was cutting edge. It was, you know, TV budget, and it was the 60s. So, right. Like, that's the best it was going to be.
Right. But I honestly, I don't think they needed to do, like, this Wrath of Khan. It doesn't need to be Empire Strikes Back. Mm-mm. Because it had the following. It had the people that wanted this.
Right. I don't think it was trying to be.
Exactly. But as somebody coming in, that's, I honestly, until you said that, I all these years, I've never known that was like a sequel to an episode.
Yeah.
I just thought it was like, I mean, all the information's there.
Yeah, it is.
I didn't, you know.
But the backstory when they're talking about Kirk doing all this stuff, it happened in an episode.
Right. And while I was watching it, it made me wonder this time. I was like, did this actually happen in an episode? Yeah. I'm like, I'm sure we'd talk about it. And of course we are.
Right.
When I was a kid watching it, I never thought to go back and watch episodes or anything. I was just like, oh, okay.
No, because like you said, you don't need to. Everything is there. Right.
Right. It's a self-contained movie, which is fine. That's, I just, yeah. But it's just so hokey. There's so much. I do like Leonard Nimoy, though.
Yeah, he's McCoy. Spock. He's great.
Spock. He was just, I even said at the end, I was thinking at the end when he's doing his like reading.
Yeah.
Or whatever you know, like him talking about whatever he says. Didn't he quote the thing? It's Charles Dickens.
Yeah, it's the best of time. It's Tale of Two Cities, I think, is
something like that.
The book that McCoy gave him.
That's what
Yeah, he's right. He's reading the end. It's a far, far better.
That's what I was
going to
say. It's from the book
Yeah.
Was that the book McCoy gave him?
Yeah, McCoy gave it to him for his. No.
He gave
Spock
it to.
Gave it to him.
He gave it to Kirk.
For his birthday.
I thought.
Right. He gave it to Kirk.
To Kirk.
Spock
yeah,
gave
you said
the
McCoy.
Book to Kirk.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Right. Well, because I thought McCoy gave it to him, but McCoy came to the room and gave him alcohol. Spock gave him the book. Because he says it was the best of times, it was the worst of times.
Right.
Message Spock. None that I'm aware of, Captain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except, of course, happy birthday.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, when he was reading that and they're showing the star field coming at you, I just got this big rush of going to the Museum of Science on your field trip. And then you go into the, Omni Theater or whatever, and all the voiceovers are done by Leonard Nimoy.
Right.
For that, because he's from Massachusetts or whatever, and he did all the voiceovers for the Museum of Science, and you just sit there and they're telling you about space and the stars are going by, and I was like, this is like being at the Museum of Science. This is great.
Well, which also, this marks, like, the end of this movie was the first time somebody besides William Shatner did the Space the Final Frontier thing. You know,
oh, really?
Because Leonard Nimoy did it at the end of this at the end of the movie, but it was the first time it was ever not Shatner. Which was cool. The other thing too is we've seen this movie now a whole bunch of times, and we also know that Star Trek III came along.
Right, that's what
it was. The search for Spock. But transporting myself back to 1983 when I saw this for the first time, and we didn't know Spock was going to die or come back to life.
Right.
Like, that death scene was brutal. Like, I probably cried.
I know.
You know?
No, really.
I was like, oh my God, Spock died, you know? And it's like, didn't really get the whole Genesis thing at the time, you know, because didn't know that there was going to be another movie. So I was thinking about that when I watched it, because now, having seen it a million times, you know that, you know, again, you know Spock comes back, but.
Well, yeah, the next one was called Search for Spock. So.
Well, right, but we didn't know that was coming.
Yeah, that came
when
out
this came
in,
out.
What, 84? 85?
I don't know.
84, I think.
I don't know how close they, I don't remember how closely they were.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember seeing that in the theater, and like when Spock died, it was like, that was brutal.
Yeah.
Because, you know, again, I loved, at that time, you know, I was what, 13? So, I mean, I'd been a Star Trek fan for 7 or 8 years, you know, I loved those
well,
characters.
Well, this came out in 12, when we were 12. Came out in 82.
82?
Wrath of Khan was 82. Right. So, right. Yeah, we were 12. I remember when Spock died. I mean, hey, I got choked up this time. That's a great scene.
Well, me too. Yeah, it's a great scene.
It's a great scene. You know, and I love the I'll call it a makeup attempt on Spock.
It's like they took radiation burns.
Yeah, his radiation. It looks like they took wet potato chips and put them on his face.
Yeah.
Like, here, just stick these to your face. That's radiation burns.
Yeah.
I love when, Bones said? He's like, no human can survive in there. He goes, well, as you've pointed out many times, I am not human.
Right.
It was great.
Yeah.
That must have been such a fun role for him, Leonard Nimoy, is. Just being so straight-faced and
so
matter-of-fact.
Well, and then having to play off like Bones, who's always, you know,
emotion.
Yelling at him.
Yeah, he's all
like,
emotion.
Green-blooded, you know, blah, blah, blah.
He starts oh, my God. And then he
when
just
when they're
sits
doing
there.
The Genesis, like when they're doing the Genesis reveal, and he's like, it's Universal Armageddon. And it's like he's so over the top.
Which
and
I thought
Spock's
was
just sitting there.
You know what I thought was funny is wasn't he like he was so mad when he heard what Genesis could do.
Right.
When he's all about healing, and what does Genesis do? It heals on a planet-wide basis.
Yeah, but his thing was it will overwrite existing life. Like, what if it's used on a place where life already exists?
Right.
And that's what he was mad about. It's the potential of the weapon, not so much the...
I get that, but you got to see it for... I mean, you can't... I mean, he just got so angry. But then when he actually saw what it did, he was as giddy as a kid.
Oh, yeah, when he's in
he was
the,
like, look at this. Well, this is what we tried to tell you when you decided to yell at Spock.
Right. I wasn't attempting to debate the merits, Doctor.
Exactly. All right, we're pretty far in, and we haven't mentioned Kirstie Alley yet.
Yeah, I don't
you remember
know if
her?
She had been on Cheers then.
I don't think Cheers had come out yet.
Well, Cheers, I think Cheers had come out, but she wasn't, I mean, it was Shelley Long.
Yeah. I don't think originally. She had showed up on Cheers.
Right, I don't think she had been on Cheers yet. So that was probably the first time we saw her. And she is not Savick in Star Trek III either. So I think by then she was on Cheers, because that role was recast for Star Trek III.
No, she doesn't show up on Cheers until 87.
Oh, well, I don't know why. Well, for whatever reason, she doesn't come back in the next movie. I think it's Robin Curtis, I believe, is the actress that takes over. So I don't know why. I always assumed that she didn't do the third movie because she was on Cheers already.
Yeah.
But that's when she was attractive and not crazy. Because she's like
why, is she
a
crazy
lunatic.
Now?
Yeah, she's like a lunatic.
Is she really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
She's
she looked good. She looked good in that movie.
Yeah. Is she supposed... Now, what is she... Who's Savick? Is she supposed to be like a...
She was a new character.
Okay.
Like, she was a new character for the movie, but, you know, she was a Vulcan also.
That's what I was going to say. Is she a Vulcan like Nimoy?
Yeah, she was Vulcan like Spock. So, yeah. But yeah, she was new. Like, new for the movie. She didn't appear. And I don't think she appears after the third movie either. They kind of quickly abandoned that character.
Yeah. But I thought the opening with her was pretty cool. You knew, obviously, we've seen it many times, but you still knew, even the first time, like, this can't be real. It's got to be some kind of thing. And it
well, once you start seeing your regular crew members getting killed, you knew something was up.
Right.
You know.
That's what I mean. But then setting up, and what I tried to mention earlier, is that entrance, that William Shatner, here comes Kirk. It was like, it was like the rock star.
Yeah,
I mean, they open the doors, like the smoke. You got the, you know, the dry ice. You got it all set up,
like
and he
Michael
comes
Jackson.
They're like lasers going and stuff. Yeah. I mean, it was. I didn't know if William Shatner was coming through or like poison.
Right. he's the rock
Here comes
star Brett
Michaels
now.
That was and he even walked in slow and stood there, so you just get the silhouette, and it's like. I don't remember in the 83. Were you like, there he is? There he is.
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't remember.
I don't know.
That
you're the one.
With
I mean, you're the Trekkie that's like, oh, there's the Shatner.
Well, I am, but I don't remember it having an effect on me necessarily when he came in, but
that was great. Here's something that'll make you feel good. He, in this movie, is older than you are right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was 51 when he made this movie.
He was 51 when he made that?
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, so still time.
See? Look at that. He's looking pretty good there.
You're right, I still got a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked better at 51 than I do at 50, so.
I'm like, hey, he's 51, he's looking good.
Oh, well, Nimoy was probably older, too, then. I think Nimoy's older than Shatner.
No. Same age.
Oh, they're the same?
Same age. Nimoy, March 26, 1931 in Boston, Massachusetts.
Okay.
And the Shatner, March 22nd, 1931 in Montreal, Quebec.
Yeah. I know he's
That's
Canadian.
In Canada.
Yeah. That was back when they could still cross the border and
right.
come to the United States.
So Shatner's older by 4 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, March 22nd and March 26th of 31. Yeah,
didn't realize they were that close together. That's funny.
Yeah, 4 days. That's insane. Yeah, Leonard Nimoy died in 2015.
Yeah. And the Shat's still around.
Yeah.
He's all over Twitter.
Did you?
He's beefing with somebody every day on Twitter.
He pops up in shows here and there. I know he was on Psych.
I'd say he isn't. I don't see him on anything anymore. Ever since the Priceline commercials.
Yeah, he played one of the main characters' fathers, Jules' father.
Okay.
And he was a con man on the show. It was really good. He was really good in it.
Yeah. Last thing I really remember, like, he was on Boston Legal.
Yep.
I think it was called Boston Legal with James Spader. And I loved the two of them on that show.
Like, yeah.
He was really great in that show. Yeah, so I don't really know how to segue into this, so I'm just going to say it.
All about our segues, John.
Well, I love the fact that, like, when Chekhov and Captain, I can't remember the other captain's name, but when they beam down to the planet and they meet Khan and his crew in the Botany Bay ship, I love how convenient it is that they have, like, door handles on the fronts of their spacesuits so that Khan can grab him by it and lift him up into the air.
Right.
What is the purpose of that handle? Like, why is there a handle on the front of their suit? But I was like, that is great because it's just like, I'm a little teapot.
Right. Because, you know? I mean, I know, like, you know, military and even, like, firefighters, they have handles on their shoulders.
Yeah, but, like,
sewn into whatever, so you can pull them. But having one there,
right on the,
like,
front,
what
yeah.
are you going to do with that?
Like, what's the point of that?
Right.
Like, I was just like, well, it's great that they conveniently put that there so some guy, like, can just grab me by it and lift me into the air.
Right. And I love when Ricardo Montalban grabs it and you can see him, like, getting a grip.
Yeah.
Like, he like, really grips it with it. Like, you see his hands getting a hold of it. Like, he's really going to lift it.
Right. Like, he's really lifting him.
Right.
He was all in. Like, he got into that. Like, he was. He was all into the con.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all into the con role there. And then he's like, I don't know you, but you, I never forget a face. And then he goes, Mr. Chekhov. And he's like, well, apparently you don't forget names either. Like, that's not his face, you know? It's like, why didn't he say, I never forget a name, Mr.
Right.
Chekhov, you know?
I never forget a face, Mr. Yeah. Chekhov.
You know, it's like, that's pretty good.
I also like when Kirstie Alley there, her character was starting to cite the rules and regulations as they were approaching the other ship.
Right.
And then Spock's like, what was her name? Savick is like.
Yeah, Admiral's well aware of the regulations.
Yeah, Admiral's well
like
aware
that.
Of the rules and regulations or whatever. And then, of course, they get caught with their pants down or whatever Kirk says. And he's like, and he looks at her and he goes, you keep citing those regulations. I thought that was pretty cool.
It was pretty good.
And did you notice, did I get this wrong, but did they refer to, like, Kirstie Alley's character, Savick, do they refer to her as Sir?
Mister. They're all Mister. Like, they're gender neutral in Star Trek.
Okay.
Like, in others, they've done that throughout multiple series. It's always, like, Mr. Savick or Mr. whatever.
Right.
But, yeah, they refer in the masculine.
To everybody.
To everybody, yeah.
Right. I mean, I know Star Trek has been like that. It's been more progressive like that. But I actually thought, oh, that's kind of cool. The Mister, I thought it was Sir, but yeah, Mister. I wonder if that plays today, though.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, it's not actually progressive at all. It's actually demeaning to women, right? But,
well, like, I don't think it's meant as demeaning, though. It's meant wasn't. Like we're all equal. Well,
right.
It's just a name. It's just a, I don't think a it surname was, right. or whatever you call
Especially
it.
Especially in the 80s, like their intent was not to be demeaning. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think it plays today. Like, I think.
Yeah, you like, know, you can't call me Mister. You know.
Did you just assume my gender? I don't know. You know? It's like, I don't think it works anymore, but like there
well,
was
if
no.
Well, if you only have one name, then there is no assuming gender.
Well, that's true.
That's the point. Yeah. And it's, but why did you pick that one?
Well, right. Yeah.
We need
why,
a new
why
one.
Aren't they all misses?
Right. I think we just got controversial there for a second. We've got to come
we
back
did,
off
yeah.
of that.
Yeah.
It's about as controversial as we get.
Well, it's as controversial as you'll let me get.
You can get as controversial as you want. I can edit.
Well, yeah, it just won't make it to the show. I can offend all kinds of people if you let me.
All right, here's another nice segue, because I've been meaning to bring this up, but we keep getting derailed with our ultimate segues here. The actual running time of this movie is 1 hour and 53 minutes.
Okay.
And I think if you take off the opening credits, it's under an hour. <It's> like, those opening credits.
They were pretty long, yeah.
It was long. It was slow.
Yeah.
Just names and stars.
Well, it reminded me, it was kind of like the beginning of Superman, the movie, also.
Yes.
Was like that.
Right. But at least
again,
in Superman, they had
the
whooshes.
Times. Yeah, that's true.
They had the whoosh. So you could, and even that got tedious after a while, but at least it was there. This didn't even have that.
Right. Their credit game was strong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They credited everybody. I mean, craft services.
Yeah. The guy that bought lunch for crew and
Taco Tuesday.
Yeah.
it was brutal. But I didn't want to fast forward because I wanted to absorb it all.
Right.
And boy, did I.
Yeah. Took a bit to get into it. It took a minute.
So we were talking about the Enterprise earlier and we were laughing and joking about like how they love to show it off.
Right.
Technically, is that the first spaceship we've seen on TV? Was there a space show based around like a ship like that before Star Trek?
I think not. Like Space 1999 came afterwards.
Yeah.
I mean, there may have been.
Because like you said earlier, it's like the ship itself is a character to the show. You love seeing it. Even I love seeing it. It's like, it's fun. I mean, the first movie was just ridiculous. Once you saw that, you've seen enough. But
right,
it is a character unto itself. But it never even occurred to me that that could possibly be the first spaceship we've seen on TV.
I don't know if it was like the first spaceship we ever saw on TV, because I'm sure there was probably an episode of like The Twilight Zone or Outer Limits that had a spaceship.
No, but I mean,
as far
a ship
as
that
actual,
was centered around, yeah.
Right, like a ship that we saw regularly. Yeah, I would bet it's the first one, because I can't think. Well, actually, when did, what's the name of the show? Lost in Space. Was Lost in Space before or after Star Trek?
Lost in Space was 65.
So before, yeah. So actually that was probably the first, the Jupiter 2. From Lost in Space was probably the first ship that we saw.
Yeah, but was that really part of the show? They weren't on the ship.
Well, they were on the Jupiter too. That's where they lived. I mean, when they were lost in space, they lived on the ship.
I thought they were on a planet though, weren't they?
Well, right, but they were lived in the ship that was crashed on the planet.
Right.
But yeah,
but that's
I think
what
that
I mean.
Predates...
The ship wasn't a central character. They didn't fly around in it. It wasn't a big, like,
no.
You couldn't really show off a crashed ship.
Right.
There's no docking.
Right. Right. But I think that was the first, and it beat it by just a, what, 2 years?
A year.
But, yeah.
What was it? Star Trek came out in 66.
Was it? I thought it was 67. Maybe it was 66, but.
I thought it was 66.
Maybe I know I'm Batman wrong. Was 66. I thought Star Trek was 67. In either case, it beat it. It just beat
maybe
it
you're right.
slightly. Yeah. But as far as, you're right, as far as being yeah. like a recognizable.
No, the like original said, series came out in 66.
66, okay. But yeah, as far as like being a recognizable ship, it was the first one we saw on TV.
I was the only other ship that I would say would be a recognizable ship and iconic. The one that popped into my head is the War of the Worlds, the ships they used in that. But I can't even think of what year did that come out.
Oh, I'm not sure. But yeah, there was other movie. There was other
right.
movies that had ships. Because I mean, there was Forbidden Planet where you had spaceships and Robbie the Robot, and like there were space movies before this show. But like as far as being like a recurring, like I said, it's almost a character in its own right.
Right. War of the Worlds came out in 1953.
Yeah. I say, yeah, I knew that was much before. And
yeah.
Like I said, Forbidden Planet was in the 1950s also.
Right. But yeah, so I think, honestly, I think the Enterprise was the first real human. I mean, War of the Worlds, all those were all alien stuff. And Lost in Space was a crash ship. This was where you've really, and that's, it never dawned on me until now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, I hadn't really thought about it either. But yeah, it has to be, and then shortly after that, we started getting, we got Galactica and we got, Space 1999. And I think a lot of that was based on the success of Star Trek, And
yeah. Oh, definitely.
Obviously Battlestar Galactica was a Star Wars ripoff, but. All that stuff had viability because it was kind of proven that people had an interest in it.
Yeah, I love Battlestar Galactica, the original
series.
Oh, I did
too, yeah.
Back in the 70s with...
Me too.
Lauren Green and...
Lauren Green and Richard Hatch and Dirk Benedict.
Yeah, Dirk Benedict. Yeah, he ended up on the A-Team later.
He was on the A-Team, yeah. Richard Hatch, I don't remember doing... Like, he came back for the new Battlestar, but I don't remember seeing him on anything ever in between.
But Lauren Green used to sell Alpo.
Yes, right. He sold Alpo.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do. Well, this was like the end of his career. Like, that was at the end of his career, because he had had a big TV career before.
Oh, yeah. He was in what was a Western show? That
Bonanza.
Bonanza.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I'd have to go back and watch. I haven't seen an episode of Battlestar Galactica in
Well, I haven't either.
Years.
And talk about things that may not hold up.
Right. And that's what I mean. Like, I know, I watched, obviously, Wrath of Khan, and I'm like, it's so hokey. It's some of those explosions and the people diving over those. It was just so, people were diving before the explosion happened, and then the explosion happened. It was pretty funny. But to your point, if you watch anything else from that era, it's probably a lot like that.
Well, it is. And again, that was a lot, that happened a lot on the original series. There was lots of ships getting, the ship getting hit and rocking back and forth. And
but
all the way through, even onto Next Generation, that's a running joke. Like the Star Trek, I forget what they even call it, the Star Trek shuffle or whatever. They all talk about that on every series. They have to sway back and forth with the ship getting
right.
hit. I think Will Wheaton talks about it a bit.
I think they even talked about it.
They talked about it in the ready room. Yeah.
And how they actually set the, what was the name of the ship that was in Picard that they were in?
I can't remember now.
I can't remember the name of it, but how they set it up on a gimbal. So they didn't have to do that. It was a little bit more uniform. They actually got to work with the motion.
Right.
But I feel like in my head, I feel like Battlestar Galactica is better. I feel like that the action was better. But I was also 7 and 8 years old.
Right.
I can't remember the last time I watched Battlestar Galactica.
Well, right. Me either. And, again, we were on such a high from Star Wars that, when we got to Battlestar, it was more Star Wars on TV every week. It was great.
Right.
But... Right, like you said, I haven't watched it in years. Probably haven't watched it since it ran originally. Like, I don't know if I've ever even seen reruns of it, you know? So, it may not be that good.
You know? Yeah. So I just looked up Space 1999. That came out in 75.
Yeah, I remember that. Martin Landau.
Yep, Martin Landau. Who was the woman that had those, like the sugar candies on her face or something?
Yeah, yeah.
The dots?
Again, that's another one that I haven't probably seen since 75, so
yeah.
I don't remember a lot of the details. And I don't think
either.
That was a very long-lived series either. I don't think that went very
48
long.
48 episodes.
Yeah, that's not, what, two seasons probably? So
yeah.
That's actually more than I thought it had. And it's so funny, like, how futuristic it was.
Space
1999. It's like we've come well past 99 and we can't do half that stuff, you know. Like 2001 A Space Odyssey. It's like we're hell and gone from 2001 and we're not flying around in space. So
but quickly back to Star Trek Wrath of Khan, the movie we were talking about for today.
Yeah. Before we get sidetracked on Battlestar and Space 1999.
On space movies.
Yeah.
Spock's funeral.
Yeah.
And bagpipes?
Yeah. Amazing Grace.
Yeah. Amazing Grace on what, Irish bagpipes or whatever?
Scottish. Yeah.
Irish, Scottish.
Scottish.
It's not the same thing.
You're going to offend a whole country, brother. You better watch out.
We're getting controversial in this one.
Yeah. You're going to offend a lot of people, so.
I don't know. What's the difference?
It's another country.
I was joking.
I know. As somebody that has Scottish and Irish blood in them.
Okay.
I can tell you, they're not the same.
Well, it's the same in you.
What's mixed? It's all mixed together.
Sounds about right.
Yep.
But I liked how they transitioned that into the regular music, to the score.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah,
that
it was.
Pretty cool.
It was a really good scene, yeah.
Because at first I was taken back because I'm like, why are they playing this? I'm like, because it's such a futuristic show and then
yeah.
They have bagpipes. I was like,
well,
because okay.
Scotty's Scottish. So
he's Scott, playing it? It's not his funeral.
Yeah, but he was playing. Wasn't he playing them?
I didn't know. I didn't notice
I thought
that
it was
he was
Mr.
actually
Scott
playing.
That was playing. Yeah, I thought it was him
oh,
that was
really?
Playing them. Yeah.
I didn't even notice that. I thought it was just playing. I didn't even notice he was playing them.
Yeah, I think he was playing him.
Oh. Well, you know, that would make more sense.
He hasn't
That's why
his
I didn't
heritage.
Understand. Huh? Yeah.
He hasn't forgot his heritage just because it's the future. So.
Oh, no, I know that. I just, yeah. I honestly, I didn't even notice he was playing them.
I mean, obviously it's not a Vulcan ritual. But
that's what I thought, because usually when somebody dies, you do their rituals, not like whatever you feel like. Like, so that's why when I heard it playing, I didn't think to look for Scotty. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, why are they playing at a Vulcan funeral? You're playing, as I put it, Irish bagpipes.
Right.
So, but then when they transitioned it, I was like, oh, that sounds cool. But I was still like questioning, like at a Vulcan funeral.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess.
I got to go back and see if it's like Scotty's actually in the background.
I think
working
he was.
Away in his kilt.
I have to look at it too again now, but I think he was playing the bagpipes in the background.
Bright side question of the week. Irish bagpipes or Scottish bagpipes? And is Scotty playing them?
Well, I think so.
What?
I think so. I mean, it's easily answered. You just got to pop on the DVD and look.
Yeah, but once you get through the opening credits, it really picks up. So
yeah.
After the opening credits, it's about 30 seconds after that.
Movie's over. It's really opening credits and end credits.
Right.
So.
And a Shatner entrance in the middle.
Yep.
So are you looking forward to Star Trek III, The Search for Spock?
Yeah.
Do you remember that being as good?
What
I have really no memories of it, good or bad.
I think at the time I liked it more. Like, I watched that. That was the movie I watched, like, every day. Like, I watched that movie, I think, almost every night, you know, before I went to bed. One summer. Like, I had the...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had the VHS tape, and I watched it, like, every day. I really liked it.
Oh.
So yeah, I've seen it a bunch of times. But I mean, I haven't seen it in a long time either. But yeah, I think I liked it more than the second one.
Wow. Well, I look forward to that then.
Yeah, well, again, I don't know if it'll resonate for you as well as it did for me, but...
I doubt it, but yeah. It's fun talking.
Yeah.
It's actually more fun talking about it than was sitting through it.
Yeah.
But it definitely, Star Trek II is definitely better than the first one.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
No yeah. doubt.
The first one was rough. Like, you wonder why they even made another one, honestly.
After seeing this one, I think what they were doing in the first one is they were actually trying to do something different in a movie.
They were trying away from the show.
The show.
This one they embraced.
Exactly.
They embraced the show. And I think that's why it works more.
Right. You know? They basically listened to their fans, because I got to imagine their fans were like, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
I don't know what the ranking was what at the time and how I don't either I don't at the time, but
I don't either, but I remember everybody not loving it. You know?
And just going by your feel of it and everything, I'm like
I love Star Trek and I still didn't like the first one, you know what I mean? Like my nostalgia couldn't save that one for me.
Well, because it wasn't there.
Right.
It was not it wasn't the show.
Right.
So after having seen this one and you're like, wow, this is kind of like the show. And as somebody that's not a fan of the show, not that I dislike it, I just didn't grow up on it. I don't get that. So I see it and going, this is like a show.
Well, which, right. And they also
feature presentation, you know, a full length feature film. I was expecting more, but.
Well, and it also, like I said, it wasn't like a sequel to the first movie,
right.
But it was a sequel to an episode, so that's also
pretty interesting too,
kind of like a built-in interest, because you know, once we knew that it was called The Wrath of Khan, you know, anybody that was a fan of the show knew the character from the show, so like that I think also helped it do well, you know, compared to the first one.
Right. We don't usually get into this stuff, but you know what the budget was on this movie?
$60 million.
$11.2 million.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I was like, I'm just guessing. I have no idea. $11 million.
$11,200,000 estimated budget. Opening weekend $14 million. Gross U.S. 78, almost $79 million, and cumulative worldwide same number.
Well, so and that could be a thing.
It didn't play overseas or something. Didn't we have another movie we saw that?
Yeah, I don't remember one of the ones we talked about recently. I can't remember what it was, but I was going to say that's another thing too, because like you kind of bagged on the sets and stuff a little bit, and you know, like I don't know what the budget for Empire was, but I'm sure it was a lot more than $11 million. So like they didn't have a lot to work with for the special effects on this movie either. You know what I mean? Like that's a pretty small budget, even in the 80s. Like I would imagine the Empire had a higher budget than that.
Guess how much?
Oh, I don't know. I was just going to look it up, but
$18 million. Opening weekend $4.9 million.
Actually, according to the Wikipedia, though, that was the original budget, but it actually they were over budget though.
Oh, okay.
They actually spent $33 million on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on a budget of $18 million. So, I mean, again, that's a big difference between $11 million on Empire. I mean, on Star Trek. You know what I mean? But the difference is this movie made a lot more money, too.
Yes. Gross U.S. made $290 million. Gross cumulative worldwide, it made $557 million.
Oh, yeah. This says 548, but yeah, 557. So
half a billion dollars back in the 70s.
Right. Compare that to Star Trek that did, what, 14
million? Well, that was 80, actually.
So, big difference.
Yep.
Now, the original New Hope was made for $11 million. So even with that, that's the same budget as Star Trek. And of course, you know, Star Wars is a better, you know, the technology is better there. So for the same budget, Lucas did a lot better than the Star Trek people did.
Well, but, I think but that has to do with the sets, I think. I mean, the idea of Star Trek, it's everything takes place on the bridge.
Right. Everything's on the ship.
You're basically in that area, and then, you know, then they walk out of the room, and you get the Doors right. open and close, and that's about it.
Right.
Star Wars was about a galaxy.
Right, and it was whole worlds. Right.
Yes. So, you know, multiple worlds, fascinating places, that, you know, so you're going to have a more extensive set design in every place. So, and then right. he's still expanding on that today.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Do you have anything else?
No, I think that's about it.
I think we've covered everything there is to cover with Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan from 1982.
And Battlestar Galactica and Space 1999.
Yep.
And Lost in Space.
Lost in Space. So,
and Forbidden Planet.
And War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
So,
so we covered it all.
Touched on them all.
Yep.
Danger. Danger. I actually didn't like that show.
Oh, really? I loved it.
It used to, that doctor there used to annoy me.
Dr. Smith?
Yeah. Was that his name? Dr.
Yep,
Smith?
Dr. Smith.
That guy, he was always upset. He was always ratting people out.
Well, have you watched the, yeah, have you, I'm assuming the new you one? Haven't watched the remake, have you?
I did. I watched the first couple episodes. Jen didn't get into it, so.
Oh. See, I actually got into that pretty, now Dr. Smith was a woman on this one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought the remake was pretty good. But yeah, I liked Lost in Space because again, I was a kid and I liked science fiction stuff.
It was on after
stuff,
school,
and it
wasn't
was
it?
On right. So yeah. It's kind of like you had no choice but to like it. You know, it's like.
Well, I didn't like just, that one guy, that yeah. one Dr. Smith.
Dr. Smith.
Yeah, I liked the kid. I liked the robot. I like yeah. you know Danger. I loved all
Danger,
that.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we didn't have a lot of choices back then, so we just kind of liked what was on.
Oh, so. Yeah, I was just happy to be not doing homework.
Right.
All right, what do we got coming up on Wednesday?
We have the Alien original screenplay adaptation, issue number one, Empire Handbook, number one, and this one I'm looking forward to, Vampire the Masquerade, issue number one. Look for that on checkout next week.
All right. Who's that put out by?
I think it's Vault, if I'm not mistaken.
All right.
I'm not positive, but I think it's Vault.
More indie books.
Yep.
Who knows if we'll be reading DC? Probably not next week either.
Yeah, I don't know, because I'll have come fresh off of doing my Sunday FOC. So I'll probably be a little agitated.
Yep.
Well, actually, since it's Monday, I have completed it, and I am agitated.
Look at you. Look at you.
Yeah. Look at me playing along.
Yeah, look at you playing along. All right. Seeing it's Monday, what have you thought of Umbrella Academy so far?
It's fantastic. Can't wait to see it again.
That we'll be talking about next Monday.
Yes, we will.
So yeah. We're halfway through that right now, and yeah. We'll be talking about that next Monday. Yeah. Let us know what you guys are doing. You can talk to us or talk to me on Twitter, and I will forward the message along to
forward
John.
It to John.
You can talk to us on Twitter at @brightside_chat. You can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. And check us out on Nerdy Legion. Check out all the great podcasts, as a matter of fact, on Nerdy Legion. And please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes if you get a chance. You know, if you're not busy.
Yeah, and you're not.
And
we don't know.
That will do it for a Monday morning. I got to get to work.
All right.
A great week. See you on Thursday morning.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred.